why you stink up the airwaves. WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Tell me that wasn't tailor-made.
That is made for that.
So the pitchfork that my father brought back looked okay.
Nice, huh? It even follows the fender.
But it's not exactly what I had in mind. The only thing is it doesn't follow this way, huh? It
doesn't have to.
I don't think it's a pitchfork. Well, fork is four. I mean, you know, like...
Yeah.
This is six.
You know, I can understand Paulie trying to get this thing right, but for cripe's sakes, how hard would it be to modify this pitchfork?
Right.
Cut these out of here and weld them back in. It's a 10-minute job.
Yeah, weld them evenly?
Yeah, weld them evenly.
Okay.
Think a little bit.
I'd rather see him do it all out of round wire.
That's what he's doing in that. I don't care what you want to see. That's what he's doing in that.
Yeah, it'll look a lot better like this.
No, that'll look good because that's the identical pitchfork that he's got.
Yeah, but look how nice and thick that looks.
Who pays your salary? I do.
Listen.
Do what I tell you to do.
He's freaking retarded, man. You see, this is what happens when my father decides that he wants to get involved with the fabrication. Everything grinds to a halt.
If you want, I'll go to the lumber store and see. Maybe the four prong is heavier.
That's fine. Go over there. That's good. We got to do something to get the pitchfork on the rear fender, whatever it is. So Mikey and my father left again in search of another pitchfork, which is fine with me because the longer those guys are away from the shop, the more work we can get done.
Anyway.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
That girl's got pole skills.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
So good.
Never a chore. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. How about you, Barney Fife?
Well, here he goes again. Every month, pull up stakes like an Arab and off you go.
Barney.
How great is that?
But Arnie.
I just happened to catch that last night. Called Rob, who I know has the Andy of Mayberry box set.
Yes, he does. Sure.
That is the first line in the episode, right?
Very first episode. Pulling up stakes
like an Arab.
Yes, sir.
Well, here he goes again. Every month, pull up stakes like an Arab, and off you go.
Yeah, right, this is on the air?
This is on the air.
Sure is.
This is on the air.
It is indeed.
Oh, and Rob, let me be the first to say happy birthday.
Oh, Don,
I'm sorry I forgot your birthday last year.
His birthday today?
You're not the first.
Today is his birthday. No. I'm not the first?
No, you're not the first.
Who's the first?
Wait, today's your birthday?
Today's not my birthday.
Well, I don't get it.
We are playing a grand game on you, but hold on a second. The gag is on... Senor Michael Todd Hughes.
I got a phone call this morning, I guess about 9:30.
Yeah.
It was on my cell phone. I saw that it was Hughes.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, good. Okay. This will be good.
Oh, great. Oh,
and I pick it up, and he says, I said, hello. And, you know, you play that game. You know who's on the phone, but you say hello like you don't know who's on the phone.
Yeah, of course. Right.
Hello. And he says, hey, Rob, buddy, it's Michael.
And you know when he says, Rob, buddy, it's going to be good.
Yeah, there's something. He wants something.
I said, how you doing? He said, just wanted to wish you a happy birthday. And I said, well, that's
really,
that's terrific, but it's not my birthday. My birthday's in March 8th. Uh-huh. And there's like a long pause. He says, oh, man, this is the second time this has happened.
Oh, dear. Wow.
And it's really awkward because it is such a lovely gesture.
It is. Sure. Nice.
But
foiled by the BlackBerry.
You ever get a happy birthday call from him?
Never.
Never. I've never gotten a happy birthday. Buzz, you ever get a happy birthday call?
No, not once. Well, he must really like me.
Wow.
Hi, Rob, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Let me be the first to say, what, it's not?
No.
Is it worse that he called and it wasn't your birthday than if you had never gotten a call at all?
I think it's a tie.
It's a tie?
But I did tell him that I will give him forward credit. I won't say it's late. I'll say it's early.
So next March 8th, he doesn't have to say anything to you.
No, and he did say, well, allow me to be the first to tell you happy birthday.
Jesus. Hello there.
Just an awkward moment.
Well, you got me for a second. I panicked there.
Yeah.
Actually, Mike, it is.
I don't have any cash.
We can send someone.
Okay.
Hello.
Send you.
Hello, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, did you guys see the Raider Niner game?
Did you see the Raider Niner game, Don?
Of course I did, Mike. I saw Dante Culpepper was mightily impressive.
I saw a few highlights from that game myself.
Hey, the black announcer, did he sound like OJ or did he sound...
That is the OJ guy from Oakland, California.
Ah! Uh-huh.
Nailed ya.
Tons of preseason football over the weekend.
Nailed ya. Great time to be alive. Time to start thinking about that fantasy draft. Our fantasy draft is left less than 2 weeks away.
Yeah, and you got to be paying attention now because they're dropping like flies in preseason football. I mean, really. Especially the Giants game. My God.
A big one tonight, Mike, for a fake game. It's a big one. Colts and the Bears tonight.
Colts and the Bears, two potential contenders this year. It's going to be a big game.
That Madden game, at least at the idiot level I'm playing at right now, is becoming my bitch. Oh.
Really, for you. But,
have you beaten anybody online yet?
Yes, actually I did
yesterday.
There it
is.
Yes, I did.
Right.
Yeah, I beat some guy yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Beat his ass. Beat his ass bad.
Well, there were all I know is I watched highlights of the Giants game and watched them dropping like flies. That was the big story on SportsCenter that they
see
were.
See your boy Eli?
Eli looking really
he's
just
mentally
as,
retarded.
Just as skillful. However,
he's mentally retarded.
And I'll alert everybody.
He's mentally retarded.
In our fantasy league, that I think he can still get it together before the regular season starts.
He looks to me like he just took an S in his pants every time he stands underneath the center.
You know, and it's right after a turnover, too, where they showed that, and I forgot how they put it. Well, not to be outdone, Eli turns it over, too. And you know, and that the kind of fumble that just makes a quarterback really look like a tart.
Yeah. And then last night the Giants put in that guy, the Pillsbury throw boy,
mm-hmm.
that guy number
that
13.
You can enlighten me because I don't know what you're talking about.
He's the Giants' second-string quarterback, and seriously.
Is he the big fat guy that they let throw in, fall into the line when they have short yardage situations?
John Madden said something about him last night that was 100% spot on. He said he looks like a guy in a movie who wins a chance somehow to be a pro quarterback. because he is, I mean, he makes us look anorexic.
Did he do anything besides fall into the line? Did they actually let him throw passes?
He throws, and when he throws, it's funny because his arms are big and stocky. So they said he throws the ball just fast as hell with lots of velocity.
Oh. Is he going to be their third string quarterback?
He may be the second string guy.
Oh my God.
If your boy Eli goes down.
Oh my God.
Your boy Eli.
But he's a big guy. He's what? He's like 6'8 or something like that, and he weighs 400 pounds. Some amazing stats.
They said he was. I think he lost some weight. He had been like 335. He's a quarterback.
It's fun to watch.
He's a quarterback.
Fun to watch. I'm sure he's got terrific mobility.
And why is it when girls watch games, you know, the questions that they ask, it boggles the mind.
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting there last night watching the Ravens game. Janet's nice enough to watch it with me.
Yeah.
And she likes football. She loves football. She enjoys it. She understands it. At one point, she says, pause it. I got a question. I think, okay. We're going to ask her to talk about a formation. She says, I just noticed they're wearing all black uniforms tonight. I'm like, yes. That's all. I just noticed that.
Very good. Stop the game.
She needed to pause it for that?
She wanted to know where the purple was.
You didn't want her to interrupt, did you?
Where is it?
Really, girls.
Wow. It doesn't exist. Girls and their questions.
And speaking of sports, four games. Thank you.
Oh, that's right, Mike. I'm sorry.
Pixie.
Four games. Red Sox lead now 4 games.
It's funny you mention girlfriends, wives, et cetera, joining you. Carla's sort of drifting. You know, she tolerates my baseball viewing now because it's become such a miserable exercise to be sitting or lying next to me when the Red Sox are playing.
Sure.
It's just not fun. And, you know, but in contrast, this is when I love it. I love the fact, you know, I love the abuse. I love the fact that, that they're letting a 14.5 game lead whittle away. I'm enjoying myself now.
I think I told
this.
Didn't I last week?
You compared me to an abused spouse.
No, I also gave you credit last week. I said when you had your conniption fit like a month ago,
right.
When they were 14 games up, I said, okay, you know, you were right.
Yes.
They tanked.
This is actually setting the table for the very good potential of me being with my family up in Boston, when they give up the lead for good, or they're behind already. So I just want to make sure that all my family members know to bring bail money when I go to Fenway.
This peculiar strain in you, mm-hmm. that the fact that you enjoy the abuse,
yeah.
is this common in all of Red Sox Nation?
Yeah.
Or is it just you?
Yeah. No, we're terrible fans. Yeah. We're terrible and wonderful at the same time. We enjoy.
I bet
this.
You're better than you are bad.
We're masochists. I mean, but this is when it gets more interesting because the Yankees are charging, the Red Sox are faltering, and this is what makes it all. You know, but it's a familiar place to be. And, you know, I'm not going to say that I wouldn't prefer to be 14 and a half games in front and walking away with it.
I know, understand.
But I'd like it to be, I'd like it, I love, you know what I enjoyed? I talked to you last week. I like that five to seven game cushion.
Uh-huh.
That's when I'm kind of enjoying the games. I can get mad if they lose. Now it's not comfortable.
If I could crack your head open.
Yes.
The way that I had to pop those things out of the door, out of the hinges.
The hinges, right.
Yeah. If I could pop open your brain and look at half of that brain.
Right.
I bet I would find the part. That says, hello, I'm secretly going to be very happy when the Red Sox totally blow it.
Yeah.
Right?
Probably. I mean,
right?
Because it really will just be, I told you, just gives me a chance to bitch. If I'm not bitching, I'm breathing. You know. But no, I want them to win.
But
I want them to win. I don't know. I can't even explain it. Now I'm confusing myself.
You know how your brain releases those estrogens or whatever they
endorphins.
Are?
Endorphins.
Yeah. Endorphins. What did I say? That's why I'm not a doctor.
No, it's just now, what it is now is every game. I'm watching every game and enjoying it. I'm looking forward to it just to see what's going on.
No,
it's more interesting to me because somebody's got a gun at our head.
It's like having sex, eating chocolate, scratching athlete's foot, watching the Red Sox lose, knowing that they're going to blow it.
Well, no, I don't know that they're going to blow it. I I'm worried like everybody else.
That little part of your brain is sure they're going to blow it.
Yeah. There's a part of my brain that's sure they're going to disappoint us again.
That's the little nuggety center
of your brain. But here's the thing. And since we're doing this psychoanalysis here, what's the deal with me like really going nuts when they lose now? I still root for them. I still am filled with great joy. It makes my night. And they're playing. You know, this is the dog days.
BWS, Mike.
This
B-W-S.
Is every single night, every single day.
Battered wife syndrome.
Yeah.
How many times must you feel that fist on face and yet you look at him and you say, Rob Spiewak, you big ape.
Mm-hmm.
I love you.
I'm taking you back. Well, you know I'll take him back. I'll take him back no matter what. I've made that decision already, but no, I'm not going to
It was really hard because he would tell me he was sorry. He would do something like push me or throw me against the wall, but then he would cry and say, I'm so sorry. You know, I didn't mean to. I just lost my temper. I love you.
They didn't mean to. It's so funny. We're so fickle. You know, we go back and forth. The new Penn Jillette, the new pitcher for the Red Sox, you know, they booed him. They're throwing bottles at the guy. You know, they're yelling at him, and then they cheer him when he came in yesterday.
You should probably give Kerry Spiewak a call,
just to compare notes.
Yeah,
just to find out what it's like.
The
and
Red
why
Sox
I'm doing
versus
this.
Rob.
I'll never give him up. I'll never give him up, and I'm Same calling thing. The Red Sox him.
And that's what Kerry says about Rob.
Right, yeah. Never give him up.
If you do call her, set aside some time.
Maybe she'll chat.
Maybe have a chair.
She'll chat.
She loves
it. I'm loving it. I love every minute of this season.
Oh, here is a bulletin. A bulletin.
Yes.
From the Hollywood Reporter. Pull out my glasses for
okay.
this. Today's Hollywood Reporter.
Yes. And this is California. We're not talking about Holly Morris's sexual update.
Right, no. Hollywood, California, the Hollywood Reporter. Uh-huh. Griffin never revealed the man behind the curtain by Ray Richmond.
Well. Oh, boy, that didn't
Are you
take
ready
long.
For this?
That didn't
Hold
take
on.
Long at all.
Yes, please.
I am shocked and surprised. The first headline of this story says, Merv Griffin was gay.
No.
Can't be. It must be a mistake.
Oh, God.
Why should that be so uncomfortable to read?
It's not.
Why so difficult to write? Why are we still so jittery about raising the issue in Liberal 2007? We refer to it casually, but the mainstream media somehow remains trapped in the dark ages when it comes to labeling a person as gay.
Gay.
He's a fag.
There's his theme song right there. Attaboy.
All right, turn that off for a second. Merv's secret gay life was widely known throughout showbiz culture, if not through wider America.
Yeah, everybody knew that.
Gained traction in 91 when he was targeted by Denny Terrio.
Yeah, that's when it all came out.
And his assistant Brent Plott, who we saw at $200 million.
I mean, I remember that's back, what, in the 80s that came out? Came out, so to speak.
Over the last 16 years of his life, Merv deflected the sexuality questions with a quip, saying that his private life remained nobody's business.
But the thing is, you had that confusion because Merv was married with children, as some gay men have been.
Right.
If you're Griffin, do you ever think a judgmental culture would be any more tolerant as you grew into middle and old age as a homosexual? And Merv's brush with tabloid scandal drove him further into the closet. Nonetheless, the elephant that was his sexual orientation never really stopped following Merv from room to room.
Had a gay elephant. Well, that's nice that they printed this after his funeral.
He could duck it for a while, but it would always find him. Yeah. It's disheartening that Merv had to die to shake it for good.
I don't know about that article. Yeah. I think we all knew it, and I think, you know what? I think Merv's one of the Hollywood icons that people respected his privacy.
Mike, there's only one way to find out when it comes to Merv Griffin.
Yes.
We got to talk to someone who was at Merv's funeral.
Very good.
We're going to try to call Dick Van Patten.
Very good. Absolutely.
Find out if he knew that Merv was gay.
Very good.
Of course he was there.
I'm going to bet that DVP knew that.
Oh, come on. Everybody knew.
Everybody knew.
That's why this thing of the Hollywood Reporter is a gag.
Right.
If you'll pardon the pun.
I'd like to hear about the funeral, too.
Please. Headline, Merv Griffin was gay. Shock.
Dick Van Patten.
Second headline, we're losing the war in Iraq. Shock.
And if Dick's not home, I hope he has a joke on his answering machine.
Yeah. Hello?
Hi, this is Dick and Pat with the joke of the week. Jay Leno walked into a bar and asked for a drink. And the bartender said, sure. But why the long face?
Oh. Hi, Dick.
It's a repeat, right?
I don't know, right?
Hey, hi, Dick.
It's Don and Mike, Dick Van Patten.
Hey, how are you, Dick? We were calling for an update on Merv's funeral.
We know you attended, and we wanted to get your thoughts about Merv Griffin if you had the time to chat with us. But obviously, your busy schedule is taking you out of the house.
And I don't know if you've read the Hollywood Reporter today, the Hollywood Bible, as I like calling it. Maybe you'd like to read Ray Richmond's piece today that states Merv was gay.
Merv was gay. We'd like to ask you about that as well and see what the Hollywood community feels about that.
Poppycock.
Yes, we think it's a lie.
Poppycock.
And how's the dog food going? We know there was problems. There were problems
Mike,
there.
Don't bring up the
dog. I'm sorry.
Don't bring it up.
I just wanted to get his comments
Hopefully
on it.
Hopefully it's better now.
Buzz's botulism is much better, incidentally, as well.
It's not cramping nearly as much. You, Dick. You know, we're just kidding around.
Okay, but... Bye, Dick. Bye, Pat. Bye, Nels.
Bye, Vince.
Come on. There's more.
Nils. Vince. You said Nils, I think.
Yeah, we got it.
Vince Nels. And Nels.
And Nels.
Nels, Vince, and
Tito.
Not Tito. The other vampire. Jimmy.
That's right.
Jimmy.
The good one.
Do you still have the Slam Man in your backyard?
How's your tennis game, Dick?
We love you, Dick Van Patten. We miss you, and we'd love to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's been your friend Don and your friend Mike.
Hello.
Oh, is this Pat?
Yes, who's this?
It's Don and Mike, Pat.
Don and Mike, Pat.
Who?
The DJs, Don and Mike.
Well, listen, do you want to speak to Dickie? He has a cell phone with him.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll have to put you on hold for that.
Hold on, honey. Hold on a second, please.
Surely.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Pat.
Sure, she knew who you were.
Hey, she was screening calls.
It's been a little while.
All right.
That was quite the rambling little message we left, huh?
Was indeed. We're much more more liberal with our conversation.
Rob's got a boner that will not stop.
Hello, a cell phone? My God, well, yes.
Is this cell phone? Hi.
Could I come out? Could he come and have Chinese food with me again, please? Could he fly into Washington and have Chinese food with me?
All right. Thank you. We'll call him on his cell. Thank you. Okay, bye. Right. Might have been nap time.
Oh, you think so?
That's good. That's wonderful.
Well, we may or we may not call Dick Van Patten. Depends how interested we still are when we come back from the break. Something tells me probably not.
Oh, come on.
More show coming up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.